It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes. Offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
It's an anagram date. Date reads the same backwards as it does forwards.
Very significant.
It's also a full moon tonight, as a friend of the show, Sherry, pointed out.
Yeah.
That's got to just wreak havoc on your chakras or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For some shit.
Yeah. Your crystals are being charged by the moonlight.
We got to give a shout out to our friend Vaughn.
Your nips, too.
It's his 15th birthday today.
Oh!
Now, this is wild because we have known Vaughn since he was a little boy.
Yes, we have.
Like, Vaughn's mom, Carrie, they're both huge fans of the show. Going back, way back to when we were on afternoons.
Yeah.
And Vaughn had his tonsils out when he was like 5 years old. And you and I sent him a video, like a get better soon video.
Yep.
And then he came into the station and met us. And we have, you know, stayed in contact with Vaughn and Carrie over the last almost 10 years.
Yeah, Carrie and Vaughn are just fantastic people. They truly are.
But it's wild that, like, that's how long this show has been around now. That, like I said, I remember him when he was just a little boy, and now he's 15.
Yep.
That's wild.
Yeah. We're old.
That'll mess with you.
Yeah, it will. But happy birthday, Vaughn. That's so fantastic.
Yeah,
happy birthday,
Vaughn.
I hope you have a great 15th birthday.
And thanks for being such a loyal Venus head.
Yes.
I'm going through, right now, Sean, I'm trying to buy a new truck.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this, but it's just not a great buyer's market right there for used vehicles.
No.
I found one. It's like 8 hours away from here. It's absolutely perfect. It's just what I want, but it's 8 hours away.
That's a problem.
So I was like, okay, well, if it's like, if everything is right and it all looks good, maybe I'd fly out and then drive it back. But the guy that I'm dealing with is like, he's just not easy, you know? Like, I asked for the service record. He just told me where it was serviced. I asked if I could FaceTime and have him like show me around the vehicle so I can get a better look at it before I spend money on a flight and go out there. And he's like, oh, I don't have the same phone as you. And I'm like,
so he's maybe not eager to sell it? Is that what the...
He's like, you listed it.
Yeah.
Do you want to sell the vehicle or not? I'm here
maybe
with the money that you want.
Maybe his wife forced him to put it up there and he's he's trying real hard not to...
She's like, you sell that truck. He's like, okay. And then he's just super difficult.
He's like, no, I'm not.
Everyone.
no one wants it. No one wants it.
Truck's haunted. You don't want this.
Yeah. No. I farted in a lot.
Yeah, so that's not going well so far, but we'll keep looking.
Yeah.
Keep looking.
You got time.
On today's show, it is Tuesday. It's career day, so we have a chat with a friend of the show. She works as a stunt performer in film and television. And she's been on some big productions that you would have heard of.
Totally.
So we get a look, and the cool thing about her story is that she was like a stay-at-home mom first, and then when her kids were grown, had time, and was like, oh, I should maybe do something, and decided to get into stunt work.
Which you'd never think you could do kind of later on. You'd think that would be more of a young man's game.
Yes. But. So we talked all about that with her. It was a good conversation. Her name's Lindsay Dietz, and you'll hear her at the end of this podcast. We're going to talk about grad prices. Grad is coming up, and it's not cheap.
No.
Billionaire art. Another story from our cheap friend, arguably his cheapest move yet.
Yeah.
Shauna crashed her bike for the first time this season. That and more after your out of context clip.
At least I didn't see Bloody Jesus, though.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Well, Beckler, I had my first bike fall of the year yesterday.
Are you usually good for a few crashes a year?
Normally one.
Normally, well, get it out of the way early then.
Yeah. I suppose so. This one, though, happened in the worst spot possible, in front of 60 children and their teachers taking a little nature walk, and an entire construction crew.
All right.
I don't think there is more people that have been around at any point of a bike ride I've ever done in my life for that to be the... To be fair, it was because I was trying to avoid the children. That's why it happened. So I was biking along, and again, they were all kind of like, and there were a bunch of kids, and I was like, I know that they're technically on the walkway side, but I don't trust them to not jump onto. So I wanted to steer clear of them. That's all I was trying to do. So I cut this corner, My little skinny tire got caught in this one little thing as I was trying to do it. And it was the most slow motion fall ever, where like I almost was able to balance and get out of it, but I couldn't.
Were you clipped in?
I was not clipped in. Okay. No, but I just couldn't get the tire out of this, like, because they're so damn skinny. It got wedged in there and I couldn't get out of it. And so here I am falling over. And then as I did, a bunch of the kids saw it, and all there was like a collective, oh, it was one of those moments, mm-hmm. like as if I was on a TV show and they had that reaction clip playing. That happened, and I had coffee, and it spilled all over the ground, and I hit
You're
my knee.
You're biking with
and,
coffee?
Well, in my holder, yeah. Okay. Like a, but it doesn't matter. It spilled because it was open, and...
Yep. Were you wearing goofy bike clothes?
Oh, I was wearing stupid skinny pants
Good,
and a stupid
yes.
helmet, and I looked like an idiot, and then that just made me look more like an idiot. I was just like, this is great. This is great.
Did you have to play it cool?
I did. I tried.
Yeah, there's no playing
there's
it cool
no
at that
playing
point.
It cool. No. Yeah. I just picture one of the kids going up to their teacher after and being like, Miss Julie, the stupid biker just fell. Like, do you have a Band-Aid for her? Or?
It could have been worse. I mean, you said it was a slow motion crash.
It was a slow motion.
You could have just, you could have really eaten it. Like, wham! You know, like, where everyone's like, oh my
right.
God, that lady's dead.
You're right. It could have come.
That would have been worse.
Kids could have come running. If children come running to be concerned about you as a grown ass woman, then that you're right. That would have been worse.
Because children regularly take spills that would kill the average adult, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, mm-hmm. how old were these kids?
I'm not good with ages, like 7, 8, something
okay.
like that. Yeah.
So I guess also be grateful they weren't a bit older.
It's true.
Because if they were like 12, 13, yeah. then you would have heard about it.
Yeah, you're right.
They're
right.
at the age where they're still nice.
There was like 60 still- of them though. And then there were construction workers who were going and having a dart, and I'm sure they had a good laugh about the whole thing too.
See that chick in the skinny shorts?
That stupid chick in the stupid shorts. The Beckler and
Shauna podcast. Yesterday on the show, we played Barnes Courtney's new song, Young in America.
And, yeah.
It's a great song.
It is.
Really dig it.
Yes.
But he drops a very unusual body.
Oh, yeah.
In this song. And you and I are always on the lookout for that. We so sure I'll play are. You the clip here.
My heart plays the songs of my last years. My scars are a church for my own.
Did you catch that?
My
body.
Is he a chief? Wow. Well, his last name like, is Barnes. His Barnes first name, Barnes, a sheep.
I can't even really do it.
Does he have a pet sheep that just
kind of jumped in?
Patty.
That's not how you say that word, Barnes.
No.
You say it like this. My scars are a church for my own fears. My body. He's a wreck, but I don't. Want to give her a go, Sean? The scars are a church for my
old fears. My body. He's a wreck, but I
don't care. Yeah, it's like that. It's not body.
Still, I think the Coldplay one where he... Hold on, Chris Martin. This is just still my favorite. I gotta play this here. To be your arms around me. Your body on my body. Oh, my God. By the end, he doesn't even say words. It's like it. The body escapes out of his body when he does that, right?
Like, I would like to hear Chris Martin sing it like Barnes Courtney does. Your body on your body.
A bunch of sheep in here. Oh. The Beckler and Shauna podcast. You know who we haven't talked about in a while, Beckler?
Who's that?
Our cheap friend.
Oh, yeah. And we have a friend whose cheapness puts everyone else's cheapness to shame.
He is truly the cheapest man alive. Like, I don't know if it gets much cheaper. And in fact, I got to hang out with him a little bit, and I have a few cheap tips from him that will be sprinkled throughout the show this week, because my God.
Oftentimes, his cheapness is so cheap that it strays well into the territory of, like...
No shame, a little bit.
Immoral.
Yeah.
Sometimes just downright theft. Mm.
It can teeter... A little bit, for sure. So this is a doozy of one for you. So you know how when you go to a liquor store, there are liquor bottles, and often at the store, they have those little sample bottles that are attached, like you get the bonus little sample
bottle.
Yeah,
a little 2-ounce bottle okay, attached to the neck of it. Yeah.
Yeah. My cheap friend was like, well, you should do this, okay? He says, I take those little bottles, okay, off of the other bottles, and I put them on the booze that I'm buying. Doesn't matter if it's the same company or not. Doesn't matter where it's from. He goes, I just go look around to the ones with the little mini bottles, and then I just attach it to the booze that I'm about to buy.
But surely the cashier knows because nope. they're seeing those bottles come through all day.
Apparently they don't. They don't say too much when he does this. But not only does he do this, this is when they speak up. He takes multiples He takes the little mini bottles and puts a bunch of them on his big bottle.
Like a Christmas tree.
He calls it the Christmas tree, the mini bottle Christmas tree. Okay. He says the most he's put in there is 7.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
He's attached 7 mini bottles to his big bottle of booze.
To his big bottle of booze. He was bragging about it. He's like, that's 350 mils right there that I got for free. And I was just like, how do they let you do that? Like, obviously the cashiers say something when knowing that this is not how it works. And so I said, how do you get away with that?
What does he say? He's like, oh, crazy promo they have going on right now. Can you believe this?
He cites a fake AGLC law that explains that he's allowed to do that. And they not once have questioned him because, of course, they don't know. He'll be like, oh, well, it's code, 1.52 in the AGLC law, blah, blah, blah.
What law is that? You're allowed to steal all the promo items from the liquor store you want?
That, I guess, it's no purchase necessary on the mini bottle. And you can take as many as you'd like. So he cites that, and he's gotten away with it every single time. And he said, yeah, he's like, I got it up to 7. Like, I call it the mini bottle Christmas tree. So
I wonder if the cashier is just like, whatever, man.
That's
like,
totally, I would.
Okay.
I would look at him and I'd just be like, I don't even know. In fact, that's so cheap that I can't say anything. You take that man and run.
They're stunned. They're just kind of stunned by his cheapness.
You would be like, that is no shame, sir.
They're temporarily disabled.
That's it.
I guess just take it.
They're paralyzed. They're just like, yeah,
cheap bastard.
You take that and go. I've never seen something like this. If I was them, I'd be like, can I take a photo, sir? Because this is new. Can we put you on the wall of cheap, please?
Met the cheapest man ever today.
That is, yeah. Could you autograph this for me?
7 mini bottles around the neck of
350 mils of free booze, though, Beckler. And you know what? In this day and age, okay, in this economy, maybe I should start doing that too.
Jingling all the way up to the till as all the bottles knock against each other with that smug look. Oh, like he just can't wait to quote that AGLC law.
No, he probably switches it up different laws each time.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
On yesterday's show, we were talking about the new Taylor Swift album, which, I mean, obviously we don't play.
No.
But it is a pretty big release in the music world.
Yeah.
My wife, McKenna's a big fan.
I like the odd T-Swift song, and I wanted to listen to it, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, I've read some criticism of this new album and how, like, formulaic it sounds and how even her lyrics this time around are fairly uninspired.
Oh.
This is criticism that I've read. I won't comment on this, as I don't think her music is primarily intended for my demographic, you know? And that's okay. Not everything is for everyone. And really, also, I realize I'm taking my life in my hands here because the last time I said something bad about Taylor Swift, the Swifties came after me. And
oh, did they?
Okay. Yeah, it was a little scary. Let me ask you this, though, Shauna.
Yep.
Can a billionaire make compelling art?
I'd say so.
She's a billionaire now.
Yeah.
Can a billionaire relate enough to the average person to make art that is meaningful? Or does she just exist in such a different...
She hasn't
realm.
Always been a billionaire, though. I understand that as she continues to maybe be that elevated from the regular population, maybe she will come a little less relatable. But, I mean, she's experienced normal life. So maybe she's not anymore, though. So that's why it's a little more formulaic. I don't know.
I mean, she's always been very wealthy.
Yeah.
I think I read that her dad bought the record label, like the first one that she, so she comes from a different world than most of us to begin with. But now she's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only, like, I don't know how many thousand billionaires in the world. It's a pretty exclusive class. So, like, do you lose touch at that point?
Yeah.
Where you can't make art that resonates with people? I mean, her fans are going to obviously disagree with this, but...
That's a good question. I mean, I think some artists, as they become more and more famous, either start to seclude themselves or have to from the regular population as well. And I think that's when you become out of touch, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas she, I think, is still kind of in the public. Like, she's not holding herself away yet.
Well, I mean, I don't think you have a choice. Is there anybody in Taylor's camp who's going to say this isn't very good? Or is she just surrounded by people who are just want to ride that gravy train? You know, like, if Jeff Bezos started painting.
Yeah.
The people around are going to be like, Jeff, this is great. This is amazing.
It's strange, though, because when you hear Jeff Bezos speak, he speaks a little weird. Whereas Taylor Swift, when you hear her speak, she still seems to relate to people.
I don't know. Does she? I think she goes to great lengths to seem like she relates to people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't know if
maybe it's all fake, but yeah.
You have to get you have to be isolated and weird at that point. And when you think about like all the artists who have even gotten close to the stratosphere that she is in,
yeah,
all of their most important art came well before they reached that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I think about, you know, the great Rolling Stones record or the great, you know, stuff from like Paul McCartney, it's not like his stuff when he was already,
yeah,
you know, half a billionaire. It was,
I mean,
the, it was earlier.
When it's earlier, of course, you're, you know, it's the first time people have experienced your music too. So that's a, you know, it's the first time the revelation of this type of music. So that true. Also is a part of it too. But yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, I've heard her talk recently and with her, you know, newfound relationship in the mm-hmm. NFL and that kind of thing. Like I still seem to see her out and relating to and talking to normal people, but I don't know how much longer that will be the case.
Yeah.
And if that's all fake and, you know, put on by her PR people as well. Maybe she's told exactly what to say in all these scenarios and she is a bit crazy.
Like I said, I think every decision that's made from her goes through a team of people like that. Like we talked about that clip of her slamming a beer at one of those football games. And I was like, I guarantee that went through a team of people of how that would test.
But you can't just walk and have every single thing you do go through a team of people. People are still going to see you and catch everything you when it's not planned.
Probably could. Yeah. Everything you post, everything you write.
Yeah.
Like she's a $1 billion industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, much smaller companies than that have filters.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you'd still be able to, I mean, catch her walking down the street when it's not supposed to be something in the press. And you'd maybe see her doing something super weird if she was that far removed, but you never know.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder. I wonder if artistic integrity is possible at that level. I'm not saying that billionaires aren't people. Some people would say billionaires aren't people. I don't feel that way.
No.
But I just like, her life doesn't look anything like anybody else's.
It's true.
So how do I relate to that? I don't know. Again, I'm not her target demo, so
no.
Maybe the wrong person to ask about this.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
A friend's daughter is graduating high school this year, and the grad is being hosted at the BMO Center, which mm-hmm. I know happens for a lot. He was telling me, though, that tickets to the event are $125 a person. Oof.
Man, I've heard of expensive grad tickets, but that's really expensive.
$125. Now, here's the thing. It does include the ceremony, and then everybody stays for dinner, and then there's a dance.
Okay.
But even still, $125, like, that is a lot.
I don't think I'd do
that for just an event that I want to go to. Like, that's a lot. And here's the other weird thing about the whole thing, though. Parents are there all night. So parents are there for the dance portion of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's booze available.
Really?
And that whole thing just spells a bit of a disaster to me. You know, when you think about it, like the parents are there hanging out. Did that happen at your grad where the parents were there for the dance as well?
I'm trying to remember if it was all the same night or not.
Because we had a separate.
Kind of a blur to me, Shauna.
That's fair.
But so you had a separate event for the parents and then the dance?
Well, yeah, there's the ceremony where you walk across the stage and that all happened during the day and that's one thing. And then there was like a dinner and a dance thing for us as graduates as well that was separate. So you had the like, you know, parent chauffeurs or whatever, but you didn't have all the parents that were there for the ceremony then hanging out watching you dance as well.
I feel like we had the ceremony like where you walked across the stage and then dinner.
Okay.
And then we went and changed and just the grads went to the dance and not the parents.
That
but the parents were at the
sense.
Dinner.
Okay. And that's one thing. But the parents hanging out for the dance as well after boozing all night and being with the high school kids. I don't know how that would go down.
Okay.
You know,
that's like, just a lot of money. I think if that were me, if that was my class, I would tell my parents to skip it.
Yes.
And maybe just give me half the money they were going to spend on tickets.
Well, that's a good idea as well. But also, like, who wants to go and dance with their girlfriend or boyfriend in high school with your parents lingering around?
Oh, definitely not.
On the dance floor?
I told you about the time my parents surprise chaperoned one of the high school dances, hey?
Yeah, that's awful.
Didn't
that's
tell us they were coming. And my brother's like, look who's here. And I was like, are you kidding?
Right?
It's mom and dad.
You want to go and feel up your high school sweetheart with your parents eyeing you up, right? And you don't want dad having too many or maybe uncle having a few too many and then he's eyeing up the...
Although, was this in Alberta?
Yeah, this is here.
Yeah, so
in Calgary.
I mean, you can. A lot of the grads can probably drink.
No, I suppose so. Yeah,
it might be a big fun party. I don't know. Get everyone's parents out there.
I don't know, man. Creepy, creepy Uncle Terry and Your girlfriend, I don't know.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
We just got this message too. It says, bonus is $110, and I already paid for the ceremony, which was $60. So the banquet is separate. So I guess that's a total of $170, this person said.
Per person who wants to attend this?
$170 for credit. That is nuts.
Oh,
it was free for my parents to attend. Although, to be fair, again, it was just the ceremony.
Yeah.
And it was Brampton, so it was a little ghetto. So it was just, you watch your kid walk across the stage. But it's free. Your kids should, it should be free to see your kid walk across the stage.
I think so.
And be handed a diploma.
I guess they have to rent the facility and everything.
We just
did you do it at the school?
Yeah,
we did it at the big auditorium. Yeah, just do it at the gym then.
That's, I know. It makes more sense. I know it sucks. Maybe it's more lame, but like, why? No one wants to pay $110 for that. That's nuts.
No. Like I said, if it was that much, I would have told my parents not to come, I think. Because I barely wanted to go to grad.
I only went because
I was going with some good friends, but
yep.
I didn't care.
No. I was more focused on the grad party, let's be honest.
Yes.
Where you could underage drink, because I'm from Ontario, so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we are looking for.
Yeah, that's all you wanted.
The money some people are spending on grad, on like dresses and suits and limos, and it's like, it's insane. I don't think, maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't think grad is that big of a deal.
No.
I guess it's like a transition period out of your youth into adulthood, but in terms of like an accomplishment, I mean, not really.
No. I guess I found it more significant than graduating from university.
Did you?
Which is funny. I think because I already kind of had a job lined up, though, and I was more focused on, I was just like, I don't care about school. Like, get it out of the way. But my parents forced me to, because at the time I was already working out of town, and they forced me to fly home for university grad. To be fair, they paid for it. Yes. So that makes sense. They were like, we put a lot of money into that, so we're going to watch you across the sea. I was like, fair.
Do you still have your grad photos?
From
high school?
Yes.
Would your mom have those?
Yeah.
We should post those.
So I actually was thinking I'm going to do, I still have the dress.
Oh,
so
really?
I was going to try and imitate it from my high school grad way back when.
Man, and I think I just got rid of my suit.
God damn.
But I'm also bald, so it wouldn't be easy to imitate.
No, that's fair.
I don't have grad photos because my parents didn't like that I had long hair in them.
Hilarious.
So they didn't order grad photos. I'm the only, like, you go to my aunt's and she has all the grad photos of all the kids and everything. Not me.
That's
because
really
we didn't
funny.
Get them because I had long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So they were pretty serious about not having long hair.
It's funny. There's a lot of photos that my sister has that I don't, because she was the first kid. And then I was the one where, like, there's a lot of stuff that is not. There's not much.
Me and my middle brother have full photo albums. And the youngest one, there's almost no photographic evidence of his childhood. They were just busy by that point.
Really
right?
Funny. Yeah.
You can dig up your grad photo, though. We should post them.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find a proof of mine. Because, like I said, my parents didn't order them.
Totally.
I guess they were embarrassed of my looks, but you will not be embarrassed of your new home from Shane Homes, because you can do affordable customization with them.
You can make it as sexy as you want.
Sure, and it can represent you mm-hmm. and what you're into and what you and your family need, your lifestyle. That's the great thing about their affordable customization.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to settle for a home that, you know, isn't quite perfect.
Yeah.
Tailor make it to you. And you can learn more about that at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Have you ever had sleep paralysis, Beckler?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've had something that I think was close to sleep paralysis just once in my life. This was years ago.
Right.
I woke up from a nap and I couldn't move. But I didn't have like the hallucinations that some people have.
No.
Like.
Okay, I say this because last night I was so tired that I had sleep paralysis for the first time, and it was absolutely terrifying. I had it, and then I couldn't move, and then I had a nightmare that I was back in my old condo where there was the guy breaking into my condo again.
Whoa.
And I couldn't move, but I could hear him breaking in, and it was awful.
And like, you were like awake for this?
I was awake and I couldn't shake my body. Like, but it felt like it was real. So I felt like I was in my old apartment and there was a guy breaking in and I couldn't move. And he was just like coming into my room essentially. And I was
terrifying.
Oh, it was a very strange phenomenon. It's crazy because I find like, I, I don't know if it's just because I'm a little more tired than normal or what, but mm-hmm. I've had slight moments of that where I've been able to kind of shake out of it, where
yeah.
I kind of feel myself like going where I'm like, oh, I can't move. And I'm like, okay, I can get out of this. This is the first time though that it was one of those with a full hallucination going on behind me. And I was like, oh my God. And then every time I tried to go back to sleep, I'd get right back into that same part.
Oh,
like where I'm back in the apartment, there's a guy, and it was awful. So it's like a half yeah. awake, half not thinking it's real and not, it's a weird.
And thing. Everyone's accounts of sleep paralysis are terrifying.
Yeah.
No one's ever like, it was really good.
No. I was then awake for a while because I was like, I don't want to go back to that. So I was like, let's do some other stuff. And then when I finally did go back to sleep, it was fine again. But that is an eerie feeling. Like
it
people
is.
Who deal with that often, I don't know how you do it.
I did have a bit of like the rushing noise that people report hearing.
Yep.
Like where you can, it almost sounds like a wave crashing over you
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. That was actually how this started. It started with that, and then it dove into this weird hallucination thing. But
my favorite band ever, Dredge, wrote an entire album on the concept of sleep paralysis, and in the liner notes, instead of having the lyrics in the booklet, it has handwritten notes from people about their experiences with sleep paralysis.
Wow.
And it all sounds so scary. Like people report some figure hovering above their bed
yep.
or like pushing down on their chest.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine who used to get it fairly often, luckily he doesn't really anymore, but he's the one who would see a bloody Jesus coming at him,
man.
And he couldn't move. And there was this just awful, like bloody Jesus that he would consistently see. And he'd have it often.
Yeah. That's not typically not what you want showing up in your nightmares.
Mm-mm, no.
Were you aware that you were dreaming?
Yes, but it's the strangest thing. Like yes and no, because it was very real, but then you're trying to snap out of it. And like, I can half kind of try to jerk out. And then I'm like, no, this is not real. Like, don't worry about it. But then you get drawn back in and it is real again. It's a weird, weird concept.
You can't move your body through
no,
it all, right?
No. So you can't really snap out of it. Like, you're like, okay, I'm trying to. I can't though. Oh yeah.
It's, yeah. That's terrifying. Bloody Jesus too, hey?
At least I didn't see bloody Jesus though.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Man, this is hilarious. In the New York Yankees Oakland Athletics game yesterday, there was a questionable call right at the beginning of the game, like five pitches in on a check swing.
Yep.
And Yankees manager Aaron Boone, he complained to the home plate umpire and he got a warning. And then a few seconds later, a fan yelled something at the ump from the stands. And the ump thought it was Aaron Boone and threw him out.
Oh, no. That's hilarious.
And Aaron Boone went crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I love that especially when managers are tossed and they go nuts like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. That's get right up in their
and
face.
And this is a mistaken. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
It wasn't even him. It was
firing.
A fan. He's like,
holy
I didn't say it. And
crap.
He's like, you're out of here, Boone.
Oh, man.
And the fan's just sitting there probably sinking in his chair. Like, uh-oh.
Although, oh, my God. That's funny. Oh,
that is so funny.
As
man.
A fan, would you not stand up and be like, no, it was me. Yeah. No, it was me.
Depends.
I guess you
are
don't
you a fan of the Yankees
out.
Or not.
Well, that's just it. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a fan of the Yankees, then maybe you'd stand up.
Yeah. But
if you're
it
wasn't
not,
Boone.
It would be the best. Imagine you. That's a great tactic as a fan.
Is
though.
It ever?
The competing team. If you can throw your voice like that,
yeah.
like do a little ventriloquism there.
You see someone get warned. And you,
yeah.
Suck it up. What?
Yep.
What? What was that?
What was that?
Was that Aaron Boone again?
Oh my God, that's funny.
It's me, Aaron Boone.
Oh man. You just picture him going to town. Oh, that's good.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Beckler and Shauna's career day.
Many people will change careers throughout their lives, but few people take a leap of faith like our career day guest today.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
I am Lindsay Dietz, and I work in the film industry as a stunt performer and I wear a bunch of different hats, actually. But that is the biggest passion of mine, is definitely the stunt performer.
Your story is kind of interesting because you got into it, would it be later in life compared to other people in your industry? Is that accurate?
Yes, I feel like I'm a late bloomer, and I always feel like I'm trying to catch up. But the beauty in that is, when you start your career or kind of get into your career later in life, you have so much life experience that actually can play well into. I've just really embraced that. You know, staying home and raising babies in my 20s gave me a lot of life experience, and I was able to translate that into my career in my 30s.
You'd think that as a stunt person, it would be more of a young woman's game. So do you find... You must be in phenomenal shape, and yeah.
Well, I know, Shauna, you're really active, so yes, it definitely. The beauty about starting so late, though, is that I am not broken. I am in the best shape of my life, and I haven't had a really high, intense professional career in sports. But I work with some phenomenal athletes. I go to work and I pinch myself because I'm sitting there in the room with Olympic gymnasts, NCAA football players. Like, it's unbelievable the talent that I work alongside. And then there's me. So I feel like, like an imposter syndrome. But you know what? Like, we all have something to add. And no matter what workplace that we're at, and yeah, it's been a crazy ride. And if I can do it, like, anyone can.
So how did you get started? When you said you spent your 20s raising your kids, and then what? How did you begin to make that transition?
Yeah, so but my kids were all in school, and I was looking to do something that kind of fills my time. I'm a musician, kind of is my background, and we were, you know, playing live shows and loved it. Never did I ever once think about acting. I hated acting in school plays. I saw an ad on Facebook, six years ago, and it was like, oh, if you've ever thought about, you know, being in commercial or, you know, being in TV, I was like, oh, like, maybe that's something I can do. Like, I've never acted before, but performing on stage, maybe some of that would translate. So I remember my first day on set, I did, in the industry, we call it background acting, but it's an extra, it's a paid position on set. And I was on Heartland. And I remember just sitting in this room for 12 hours, just waiting for a turn to go on set, thinking I will never do this again. It was a beautiful summer day. We were sitting in this hot basement room. But it's crazy because when you, it's just such an interesting world. Because I remember going onto set and just seeing all the manpower it took to build a show. And I was fascinated. And I guess to make a long story short, I spent the first year basically being an extra on any show I could get on. And that included, you know, standing beside Liam Neeson on top of Fortress Mountain, filming a film. So it was crazy. The experiences. It was amazing. And you know what? Like, you show up to any job, you do a good job, you take it seriously, and, you know, doors are going to open for you. People kind of notice, like my bosses, you know, they're like, oh, let's put Lindsay, you know, here in front of this camera or whatever, you know? And so then I was able to get my first acting gig, very small little day player, you know, one line. But man, those are also very tricky. But, and I just kind of worked my way up. I love my job. I love the people that we work with. Alberta has some of the best hardworking crews, and actors even say it all the time. You know, actors come here from LA, Toronto, Vancouver, and they're just like, you guys are the best people. You know each other's name. It's like a family. It's a smaller industry here. It is definitely booming, but yeah, it's a great place to work. I'm really proud of what Alberta is doing in film, and we're just getting started. I mean, Last of Us really put us on the map.
So you were an actor, and then what was your first stunt? Like, what made you try the stunt side of things?
Yeah. And I say actor very loosely, but, I was on a show, The Detour. I was there. And there was a hockey fight scene, and, they needed a stunt girl to do a hockey fight. And a buddy of mine who's in stunts, the coordinator's like, do you know any girls, you know, local girls that could do, you know, this little fight scene for this thing? And he's like, well, you know, Lindsay's here, you know, she used to play hockey. But at that point, I had no fighting experience. But of course, I was like, yeah, toss me in, coach. Thankfully, I didn't get that opportunity because I would have sucked at it and I never would have worked again. But I stood there on the sidelines that day and I saw what this girl did. And I was like, you know what, if I work really hard and I learn some of these skills, I was like, I could maybe do that. Literally the next day I went and I started kickboxing, Muay Thai. I trained Muay Thai very diligently for a year or more, soaked up any advice or training from people that were already in the industry working. I was a small town athlete, so I have a bit of just natural movement, and I was able to build on those skills. And it took about a year. I trained pretty diligently for a year before I got my first opportunity. It was a TV series called Black Summer on Netflix, season one. And I happened to be working there as a photo double on set. And the stunt coordinator looked at me because they needed a stunt double for the next day for this one sequence. And I had been, you know, doing some of his wire training classes, and he knew that I was working really hard to get into stunts. And he kind of looked at me and looked at the actor, and we were a really good match as far as your frame and your size. So he just said, "Hey, Lindsay, like, what are you doing tomorrow? Do you want to come back and do this?" And yeah, stunts is a hard thing because there's not really any auditions. It's all about the relationship with the stunt coordinators. It was Adrian Young, a local stunt coordinator here. He gave me my first day, and I will just always respect that because it is a risk to hire, you know, that stunty for the first time, you know? And because I had been working on set wearing tons of different hats, he knew me. We had a good relationship. He knew how I moved. He knew what I was capable of. So I was able to go into that day pretty confident. And I was working with amazing, like, veteran stunt performers who just, yeah, really helped. And they are so good that they make you look good. You know, when other stunt performers are in it and they're performing and they are have no inhibitions and we're doing the physical action, you just, like, it's a great time, you know, and you gotta perform as well. They call it a dance.
I guess it is a dance, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And you never want to be the weak link, you know?
Totally. You mentioned Heartland and Black Summer and the film you did with Liam Neeson. Which film was that?
The working title, I think, was Hard Powder. It was kind of like this weird kind of spoofy movie that I thought it was his typical, you know, redeeming, avenging, you know, yeah, the death of his son, which it kind of was, but it was like kind of a comedy. I can't remember the... Sometimes films, to kind of keep under wraps, will have a working title, and then when the film is released, it's under a different title. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What are some of the other productions you've worked on in the province here that we might have heard of?
Last of Us was an unbelievable, I feel like, once in a lifetime. Last of Us season one, I have never been on a production to that scale with that many crew, stunt performers, actors. It was unbelievable. And actually the stunt, shout out to our bosses, Guy Busenstuck, the stunt department just won a SAG award.
That's cool.
For Last of Us. So Guy Buse and Maggie McDonald and led our team with that, and they were unbelievable. They're amazing stunt performers, veteran stunt coordinators. And yes, it was a beast, but it was so fun.
Did any of your stunts appear in the final product?
You know what? We shot so much for so long, and it always kind of makes me laugh when we go to see it all cut and pieced together, because it's like, you kind of accept the fact that you're just this blur in the background, and they're lucky if, you know, they catch a shoulder or, you know, a punch or a swing. So it's always a little bit disappointing. We work so hard and the action looks so good, but at the end of the day, it's not about us. Unless you're doubling, it's about the story and that action moving the story forward. So we show up and do our job, and they were really happy with it. And yeah, at the end of the day, you're kind of like, oh, that's crazy. We worked for a week straight nights for, you know, 30 seconds of that episode. That's crazy. Other shows that I've been able to work on is Fargo.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Fargo, Under the Banner of Heaven. Yeah, it's been great.
So basically every major production that's been through Alberta. That's pretty cool. So what are your favorite and least favorite types of stunts to do?
You know what? Because I was so late to the game, I haven't done a lot of crazy stuff on camera. I have done a fire burn in training, and I did my first little wire gag. I love the fighting. I think that is my strongest skill. And I, again, say that pretty loosely, but the fighting is where I feel most comfortable, fighting and falling. So I feel like lots of times, you know, I've getting hired for that. Yeah. And I actually love, like, the stunt acting, you know, when you can react and get hired for, if you're in a scene and they know that, you know, you're not just going to be a deadpan face in the situation. And I kind of realized I do love acting, but it is such a hard skill. So if I wanted to get really good at that, I would have to put a lot of time and effort into that. So I really pursue acting on the level of like a day player. You know, I just, I love having, being able to wear lots of hats. Currently I'm writing and trying to create work for myself because it's hard. I mean, you're at the disposal of a casting director or stunt coordinator for work. You know, everyone does what they can to prepare when they get the call, but it's been hard sometimes to sit around and wait for the phone to call. So I kind of took a page out of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's book. And I was like, you know what? I got to write my own film. What can I do long term in this industry? Because you're right, Shauna, women age out, especially in stunts. You know, guys can do it a lot longer. You know, they can be the old cowboy that gets shot off a horse, and women, you know, there's not a lot of stuff as you get older and you're competing against, you know, the youngins. So I thought, what can I do long term in this business? What can I do for the next 20, 30 years? Because I love what I do and I love the people that I work with and I love bringing stories to life. Now, granted, I'm not a writer. I've never written anything in my life. But I just told myself, you know, if I write a page a day for like 3 months, then I would have a feature film screenplay, you know, a really rough first draft. So that's what I did. I learned as I went and started writing, and I really fell in love with that. And since then, I've written a couple other features, and they don't have to be the best. You know, you get a first draft and you can hire an editor and they can really help bring it to the next level. But then it's like you have something to work with. You know, I've been to BC pitching scripts, trying to sell. You know, I've, you know, currently in development, trying to get my own story to camera. And I'm excited about that, you know, endeavor as well.
Well, I can understand the stress of not knowing where your next paycheck is going to come from in your industry. So the fact that you had to be proactive, how can you make a decent living doing stunts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty lucrative. It's still unbelievable to me when I get my paycheck. I do another role on set called a stand-in, and it's kind of on the, you know, crew side. So I remember getting a paycheck once, and I would have worked for a month, you know, as a stand-in for my couple days of this or day of stunt. So, but understanding those days can be few and far between, especially in Alberta.
Is the pay more because it's essentially hazard pay because of the dangers involved?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
What does your insurance look like then? Like, do you?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Well, I mean, productions, I can't imagine what their insurance was. I did a short film that had a stunt scene, and I know from my short film how basically all my budget went to insurance. It was crazy insurance for the gear because there was this fight scene. So yes, and that's why in my feature, it's not very stunt heavy because that's really expensive. So
what is there a fantasy stunt or a dream stunt that you would love to do?
Oh, that's such a good question. I just really love the fight stuff. I would love to have a pretty long choreographed fight scene. We've rehearsed and done, you know, 38 kind of movements or whatever, just in training. But I just think it'd be so cool to be a part of like a big battle and the thing is, Shauna, like I never get hired. I'm very typecasted, you know, my look and my frame, and I get it. And sometimes it works for me, but I never get to be the cop or the soldier, you know? And so I would just love to have a role where it's just a little more demanding or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a specific like extended scene or fight scene that you look at and you're like, oh, that's pretty damn cool. Like from an insider's perspective?
I really loved, there was a film, I think it's an independent film called Nobody. And there was this insane bus fight scene. And that to me, because I'm not a martial artist. I didn't grow up doing martial arts. I just, you know, I did that later in life. So to me, the whole kung fu kind of is lost on me. But I love fight scenes where they give a little space to feel it. You know, you see these guys taking these hits and spitting out the blood and then coming back. So when things aren't rushed and they give a few beats to really, you can feel the impact. And that's what that bus scene is on Nobody. And it's a long scene. I think it's like 5 or 6 minutes. And yeah, it's so that's pretty cool. I remember looking at that for some inspiration for some of, you know, demos that I was working on. But those guys did a great job. And I've actually worked with some of those guys.
This is going to be my next question. On this show, we always talk about the GOAT of different things. Who is the GOAT of stunt performers, in your opinion?
Oh, that would be so hard. But we have one local stunt coordinator, Brent Woosley, who is legendary. He stunts Canada. He's been in the business for decades and decades. And I actually was working on Billy the Kid with him. And we got to sit down and have dinner after, you know, a couple of us Fenties grabbed a bite after. And I felt like a child listening to like the dad just telling stories after stories. I mean, this guy's worked with everybody, Angela, like all the A-list actors, actresses, the stuff he's done, the stunts he's done. The guy is fearless. Like, he is a stuntman. I don't know if I consider my, you know, I don't know if that's quite my identity, because I love to do so many things to bring the story to life, but he is an amazing coordinator, amazing performer, and has the resume to back it up. And I think anyone in the stunt world would just know that he's legendary.
I know you probably don't get to work with the main actors all that much sometimes, but is there any actor in particular that, or actress that you've worked with that you've, is your favorite, or you have a good story like about?
Yeah, treated you well, especially, yeah. Or?
Yeah, Laura Dern was lovely. Like, she was so lovely. She was on that Liam Neeson shoot that we did, and we were filming a scene on top of Fortress Mountain. They brought in wind machines. It was freezing. It was, you know, it was beautiful, but freezing. And she, in between takes, would just look around and smile, and, oh, this is just so beautiful. And she's just the sweetest thing. It's interesting because most A-list actors are actually pretty kind. Jude Law, I worked on The Order with Jude Law. It's a, I think, a series that's coming out. I was there on the day. I didn't work with him, but I heard great things about him. And it seems the higher caliber actor, the more down to earth they are. And then when you get to kind of the B, C list actors, sometimes they can be very, just very difficult to work with. I was doubling an actress, and the actor that we were doing the scene with, she wouldn't even look at me. She'd be like, where's this other actress? Like, I don't want to see her. And the director's like, just look at Lindsay. You know, she's the one in this. And she refused to look at me. It was awful, you know, in front of all your peers on set. So you do get a bit of that kind of caste system. You know what I mean?
Where, yeah.
But for the most part, people have been really good.
For the future, and maybe you don't want to give too much advice here because I know that everyone's competing for the same jobs in the province, but how would you recommend someone get into your line of work if there's, you know, a young person listening who's like, I think stunts is for me?
So start training. Make sure that you have as many, especially in Alberta, as many skills in your belt as you can. I'm not a highly skilled performer in one specific thing, but the advantage I have is I can kind of dabble and do everything at, you know, a slightly above average level. So, and that's worked. And in Alberta, unlike Vancouver and BC, you know, we do a lot of dramas. So to working on your driving skills, your horse riding skills, your fighting skills, your weapons, you know, I would just start really training and then just do research. That's kind of what I did. I just started Googling and researching, and there's a ton of information. And I do appreciate you saying, you know, it is a highly competitive, and that was a struggle for me when I got in, because I didn't realize you're going to be competing against your friends for every job.
Right.
And it's an emotional roller coaster. I mean, these are your friends, you know, you really love and admire these people, but you want that job and they do too. And, and it's a battle, and it's an emotional roller coaster, but you just got to work really hard, but hold it loosely.
Is there anything you have coming up that you can tell us about that you're excited about, or is it in the works?
You mentioned your feature film that's in development.
Which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm always working on my own creative endeavors. As far as the industry goes, we're just kind of coming out of that strike, and it's taken a while for things to get back up again. So unfortunately, it's a little quiet at the moment, but, you know, we got a big series coming up, The Abandons, a big TV series, so I hope to get on that at some point if they are in need of someone, you know, my height and frame and skill set. But cool. And you're always kind of hustling and putting out feelers and, you know, BC and other places.
Well, Lindsay Dietz, I learned a lot about your line of work that I didn't know today. So that's why we do this segment.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the call, you guys. I love your segments, and you guys come up with amazing stuff that I, you know, always I'm like, I don't know that.
So. Well, thanks again for chatting with us, and best of luck with everything you have coming up.
That's awesome, Lindsay. Thank you.
to you.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.